Ramban Parshas Re'ez. So the Parsha begins with, you should destroy the places of Avodah Zarah, then you should go up there to find where Hashem is. The Shichno Sidushu Vasa Shama. Find Hashem Shechina, Bidorish Hashem Shechina, and go there. So Ramban just brings that, they would ask people, where is the Beis Hashem? And then they'd say, come with us. That's why you should be Dorish it from people. Where's the Beis HaMikdash? They'd say, come with us, we'll all go up to the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban doesn't say this one, but assume this would apply to all mitzvahs. If you're on your way to go do a mitzvah, you ask directions from people. Oh, where do you get? Where's the shul? Where's the Beis Medrash? Where's the yeshiva? Oh, come with us. Come do a mitzvah with us. That's the idea. Okay, then we have, this interesting thing that says, V'haveisem shama, you will bring there to the Beis HaMikdash, alo seichem, that we understand, zivcheichem. Okay. You bring your karbanos, that we get. Ves masro seichem. Okay, that could also be a karban. Ma'isabema. Ves truma es yadchem. Now what's that? That's truma. What are you doing bringing that to the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, so Rashi says it means Bikurim. But the Ramban says, no, it means Truma. Literally Truma. Meiser is Meiser. Like it says, I have you as Kala Meiser, as El Beis HaOtzer, V'y Teref, Bevesi. V'chanuni Nabazos, Amar Hashem, and Lo'eftach Hachem. Okay. And he says that's what they would do. You used to bring your Meiser to Beis Hashem. So it certainly doesn't have to be that way. You could hand it out to any coin you like. But that, he says, in Bayesheni, they made that the rule. You're supposed to bring all your Trumas and Maisers to the Beis HaMikdash. And he quotes in Nechem, it says, Ves Reishis Arisa Seichem and Trumas Seichem Prikaleis Tirus Ritar Navi Lekonim El Lishkos Beis Elokin. You bring it to the Beis HaMikdash to put in the Lishkos. To the Beis HaOtzer. So let's bring it to the Beis HaOtzer. So anyway, so they would, the point is that he says they would bring the Trumas and Maisers to be divided out in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban just adds that he thinks Pashpshat, it refers to money you said you would bring towards the purchase of a karpan. That's Trumas Yadchem. Okay, then we have this thing about Basar Taiva. So it says, Kiyechek Mimcha Makam Shevcha Hashem HaKechel HaSum Shmo Sham, when you'll be far away from the Mishkan. Zavacht Mibkarcha Shotzunas and Hashem Lach Kasher Tzvisicha Mechalt Mishrecha Pahal Vas Navshacha. So once you get far away from the Mishkan, we're going to be living in Israel, so then you don't have to anymore bring them as a karban. You should be zavachta bimbekarcha, like I commanded you, and you'll eat it in your sharim. So, basically, when they were in the Mishkan in the Midbar, so they could not eat any meat without bringing it as a karban. And then once they got into Eretz Yisrael, they were far away from each other. They were in all one machna, so then they could shecht by themselves. But this is where we learn the mitzvah of Shechita from. Zavachta kasher tzivisicha. And what's kasher tzivisicha when? So the Ravan just says kasher tzivisicha when they were karbanos. Meaning they had a shecht in the midbar when they brought them as karbanos, and there was Shechita. Doesn't tell us how or what, that's a Kabbalah. But there was a Shechita. So when you do shechting for Basar Taiva, when you're in Israel, do it like I commanded you when they were karbanos. Do the Shechita in the same way. So, and that's a Kabbalah, what the Shechita was, but that's how we learn Shechita from. Just interesting, I don't remember if this is Mefurish somewhere, but the Ramban says that the heter for Basar Taiva, that is, meaning not to have to bring your carbon as a, your animal as a carbon, you could just shecht the meat just to eat it for dinner. So he says that was after the 14 years of conquering and dividing. Sheva Shekibshav, Sheva Shechalku. Then they were allowed to eat Basar Taiva. I'm not sure if that's my first summer, but it's kind of like a fetish to me. I thought as soon as they got into Israel, it was okay. But no, he says it's miyad la'achar shekav shevechilkel hutalem basar taiva. So it's only after the 14 years that basar taiva was mutter to them, meaning just to shacht meat to eat it for dinner. That wasn't mutter from the time they were in the midbirth till the 14 years of Shevet Shekel. Then it's considered that you're too far away from each other and you can't come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon every day, so you can shecht at home. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. Okay, by the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, I mean as follows. The Ramban discusses it in detail. We're talking, it's just the hashkaf of it. In other words, the halacha is that there's a mitzvah of Kisei Adam on birds and chayos, but not on bakar. So, I'm just going to give you the Ramban's explanation for all this. In the Midbar, right, they had to bring bucker, like cattle, that was something that could be brought as a carbon, that had to be brought in the Mishkan. And then, let's say, a deer that was never a carbon, that they always could eat at home. But the blood had to be covered. So the Rabbanan explains it like this, that in Egypt, the Egyptians did a lot of being shochet l'se'irim. They would slaughter for the shadim, slaughter animals as a carbon to the shadim. And the Jews got used to that. And, you know, I actually once saw, just as an aside, when in the Metropolitan Museum of Art in the Egyptian area, they had a diagram from thousands of years ago. Not a diagram, a diorama, whatever, like a little model from thousands of years ago, made by Egyptians thousands of years ago. You could see them slaughtering a cow and catching the blood and making blood cakes out of it. Because the ancient Egyptians, they used to eat blood a lot. They were very attached to it because they were doing this for their avodas, their shechting to demons purposes. So, you know, the Torah mentions many, many times, do not eat blood. Rak chazak levatiya chol adam. So we know there, Rashi brings right, there's two chazals about that. Either the Torah tells us a million times not to eat blood because if something's easy like that, it's giving us chayar kol shekein, something hard. The other way is because the Yidden were super attached to it from in Mitzrayim. So, going with that idea, they used to shech in Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim used to shecht a lot to the Shadim, and then the blood was a big part of that. Eating the blood. So, anyway, Hashem wanted to keep them away from that whole practice. So anytime they were going to shecht bucker and zone, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, then you're good with all the blood there. And then anytime you're shechting things that don't go to the Beis HaMikdash, let's say the Tzvi and Ayal, you have to cover the blood, because they don't want to see any blood, because then, why? It looks like you're, you know, we want to keep away from the shechting to Shadim. So if you see any blood, cover it. Then they get into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so you're not going to be able to bring every bucker to the Beis HaMikdash. So, but the thing is, where do you shecht bucker and tzon? So bucker and tzon are usually found in your home. I mean, now there's, like, near your house, so you shecht that there, so that's okay. So you don't need to do kisei adam over there. But where do you find a tzvi and ayel? Or wild birds? You find that out in the field. In the fields is makom shmama, that's where you do your shechita to shadim. So there, we kept the mitzvah of covering the blood, to keep Klal Yisrael away from shechting to shadim. And again, just the Ramban understands how the blood, the avoda of shechting to the shadim is to eat the blood. Anyway, okay. The Ramban, by the way, also mentions that they when they used to shecht to the shadim, it did have an effect. You know, I don't know the Rambam, Mara Nevuchim, well enough, but my general sense of the Rambam doesn't like supernatural, you know, think anything to do with avoda zara or shadim, or whatever these things actually does anything. The Ramban certainly is not that way. The Ramban says, no, it worked. If you shecht it to these shadim and you drank the blood and what, however it worked, so you would get nevuah and you'd be able to tell the future. So that's why the Torah is telling you, that's why it says, rak chazak, l'viltiyah chol adam, you need real chizik, because they're really into it, because this is, it would help them know the future. So they need a chizik to not eat the blood, because it's how they would know the future. Rather, they should go in emuna, not drink any bloods to know about the future. They should have emuna in Hashem. Go betumam, tamim tiyam Hashem lokecha. Don't eat the dam, don't test Hashem. Yeah. And then, of course, right afterwards, we have the story of the Navi. The Navi Sheker, ki yakim bekir b'cha Navi ochalim chalom benasem lecha osum ofis. He'll have a knowledge of the future. He'll tell you an osum of, he'll tell you something's going to happen. And then he also says, go after avodah zarah, so don't listen to him. The Ramban says that it's possible there are people who can get nevuah, even though they're not, sounds like they're nothing special, they're not tzaddikim. He says, Yitachin shirma zakasul mashu emes ki banafashos biktasa anashim koach nevui. Some people just have it. Have koch nevudi, see this, have some level of nevuah that they'll know the future. Nobody knows how. They'll go out by themselves and somehow they'll get connected and they'll know what's going to be in the future. The Rabban says it could be such a thing. The person's not getting nevuah because, sounds like, not because he's a tzaddik, just his nefesh is somehow connected, he'll know in the future. And if he tells you because of that, go to a lashon worship of Odazara, don't listen to that. Anyway, so we got the Torah, and Hashem told us that it'll, you know, don't listen to such things. So that's how we know it's not true. Of course, if the guy said, if a person is known to be a Navi and they say to do an Avera that's only temporarily, so like Eliyahu Bahar Karma, then we can't listen to him. Just not Avodah Zarah. Okay, then we have someone tries to convince you to do Avodah Zarah. So, Lo Sovelo, it says, Lo Sishmelav. So what does that mean? The Rabban says, Lo Sovelo Balev, don't go, think, oh, I should follow him in my heart. Lo Sishmelav, that you'll say, okay, I'm going to go worship Avodah Zarah. And he says, this is like losis ave and los achmor in the Aseres HaDibros, which the Rabban says, if you're misave balev, just in your heart, you're over in a lav, and then if you go ahead and do what you said, you're over a second lav. Losis ave and los achmor. So similar here, don't want to in your heart, and then don't do it, or say you're going to do it. It's a separate lav, one in the heart and one in the... when you said you're going to go worship Avodah Zarah, or when you desire something, desire and then go do something about it, a separate lavin. Okay, then we have something fascinating. It says in Revi, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, you are Banim T'Hashem, Lo Sisko Dudom Lo Sisim Ukarach V'Neichem L'Meis. So then don't tear yourself up or make yourself bald over someone who dies. So what does Banim Atem L'Hashem L'Kechem have to do with anything? It's the Rabban coach Ibn Ezra who says that since you're Banim and Hashem loves you more than a father loves his son, therefore don't get upset about what he does, because you should know Hashem knows what he's doing and it's ultimately for the good. Just like little kids don't understand why their father does things, but you have to, the father knows better, so you're to trust in Hashem. And then the Rabban goes on to add that it says, after that, Banim Atem L'Hashem L'Kechem, don't rip out your hair. Because you are holy to Hashem your God. What does that mean to not cut yourself and to not rip your hair out? Because you are a kadosh. So the Ramban says, because since you're kadosh, meaning your neshama is going to be in Olam Haba. Hashem set you aside that you will be, your neshama will come back in Tchias HaMesim. And therefore, what are you so upset about? You know, Hashem won't let anybody be, their neshama be gone completely. As he says, V'layisa l'kim nefesh v'chashav machshavas v'ltech idach mimenu nidach. So Hashem won't let anybody get messed up, and there's an Olam Haba, and he'll get his, you know, I'll get Gan Eden, Olam Haba, whatever. You don't have to be so upset. A person's going to their eternal reward. So therefore, if you're too upset, like you're cutting yourself, you're thinking like it's the end of the world, it's actually... he's going a little mhabo, and should be, it's not as bad. Okay, then we have Lo Sa'ochal Kol To'eva, don't eat anything, that it's an abomination. That's eating Isser. And the Rabban says, Hama'achal Ma'asur Magasim Yolidu Ovi Va'atimos HaNefesh. If you eat non-kosher things, so they're they put in a person, they close up the soul. The person can't connect to Hashem as well. And we have also, soon thereafter, and therefore, don't eat basar b'chalav. So what does that have to be with being an Am Kaddosh? What does that have to do with eating basar b'chalav? So he says, because it's cruel, like it sounds. You milk the mother, and then use that to cook the son in. So that would be pretty cruel. So we don't eat basar b'chalav. And even, like explains here, even the cooking is asr, right? Basar b'chalav is not just asr to eat. It's even asr to cook. You can't cook basar b'chalav. Even if you're not going to eat it, why can't I cook it? So that's the explanation, because it's this thing, because you could come to cook the kid in the mother's milk, and that's just cruel. So we don't even cook them together. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of taking Maaser Sheni, and the purpose of that, the Rabban explains, is because you'll go there, when you have to go to Yerushalayim, you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohanim, and the Shoftim there, they'll teach you Torah, and that's the idea. And then the Ramban just says his opinion about taking Meiser in general, that Meiser Midaraisa is only on Dagan Tirish V'Yitzar, as opposed to the Rambam, who says it's on all stuff that grows, all fruit and that grows. So the Ramban says, no, it's only on Dagan Tirish V'Yitzar, not on every single plant and whatever that grows, just those three. But the Ramban concedes, like, where it came from, there's many, seems to be many things that sound like it's all produce from Eretz Yisrael. That's the word I was looking for, produce. All produce of Eretz Yisrael needs to have Meiser Sheni, Meiser taken off of it, rather. But it's not true. It's really just Dung and Tirish V'Yitzer. And those other things where it sounds like it's everything that grows from the ground, in Eretz Yisrael needs to have Meiser taken off from it. So he says that doesn't mean that. So, for example, there's one pasuk that says, Chamas Yaretz Mizera Aretz Mipri Ha'etz Lashem Hu. Sounds like all. That's in Vayikra. Kol Mas Aretz Mizera Aretz. He said, no, that Mizera Aretz means the things that are Chayiv and Meiser, like it says in some places where it's Mefarish Dagan Tirish Yitzer. So it would mean Mipri Ha'aretz. Mipri Ha'etz would mean like the olive oil. And the Pri Ha'aretz would be the Tua. In other words, not everything, just the thing that the Torah says specifically. Pri Ha'etz would be the grapes and the wine, and Pri Ha'aretz would be the Chita. He also says, which it says Aser to Aser here, is Aser B'shvil Shittas Asher, give Meiser so you'll be rich, Aser Shlotas Chaser, give Meiser so you'll lose your money. And then he says, Remez L'mefar Sheyamim, it's a remez to business people, give Meiser also, like that. That's the Meiser we know of today. Give me Meiser, like a tenth of your possessions to people learning or poor people. That's a remiss to that. It's interesting that he says that Amalei HaTorah. It sounds like the Iker thing of Meiser is to give it to people learning Torah who need the money. Okay, if you look in Hilchos Tzedakah, it's not always clear what the Ikrit Tzedakah is, but anyway, that's what he says. The Meiser is for the Amalei HaTorah. Okay, and then we talk about Shemitah's Ksafim. It says, Miket Sheva Shanim Ta'aseh Shemitah. What does Miketz mean? So that's kind of a machlokas here. So some Rishonim say Miketz means at the beginning of. Ramban says, no, it means the end of. And Shemitah's Meshamet at the end. Meaning if someone owes you money, right? So then after Shemitah year happens, you can't collect. So the Ramban says that means Miketz at the end of. So Shemitah is only Meshamit at the end. There's a discussion, it's not just Rishonim, but whatever. But anyway, whether it's at the beginning or the end, so the Ramban says Miketz means at the end. Okay, we pash this paskin that it, like that, that it's at the end. The other Rishonim that say it means beginning of the year, so how does that work with the Gemara? I don't know. But anyway, he says it means the end of the year. Mamish at the very end, the last second, as we all know. That's when the Shemitah's Ksafim is chal. Okay, which leaves us a question. If Miketz means at the end, so by the Parsha of Hakel, it says, Miketz Sheva Shanim B'Moed Shminas HaShemitah B'Chag HaSukkos. So, how do you explain that? Sukkos is at the beginning of the year, not the end of the year. So it should mean, you would think, Miketz sounds like it means the beginning of the year. When it's Sukkos, that's when you'll have Hakel. And that can't be, because Chazal tell us it was the 8th year, not the 7th year. So the Ramban explains, Miketz means at the end of, plus, you know, plus one, kind of thing. Like, yeah, it's the end of the 7th year at the very beginning of the 8th. That's what it means. Okay, then we have, it says, as Hanachri Tigos, there's a mitzvah that you should not be Meshamit, and you should go after your loans from the Nachrim. So the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah, just like he counts the mitzvah of La'Nachri Sashich, that there's a mitzvah to lend to a Nachri Rith Ribbis. And in both cases, the Rambam disagrees. It means, it's just a Lav HaBa Mechlalase. It means, just to tell you that you should not do that to a Yehudi. You should not take Ribbis or collect a loan during, you know, after Shemitah. But it's not that there is a positive mitzvah to go out and to lend a guy with Ribbis, or a positive mitzvah to go out and be a Nachri for Shemitah, after Shemitah. It's just a Lav HaBa Mechlal Aseh. But the Rambam counts those both as positive Aseh's. And basically, it's the close to the end here, it talks about the Matzah. Towards the end of the parasha, it says, Lo Socha Chametz Shivas Yamim Tocha Lav Matzos Lechem Oni Ki B'Chi Pazon Yatzasim Eretz Raimi. eat the matzah. It's lechem only, the bread of affliction, because you flew out of Mitzrayim. There's always something very confusing. Like, why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Is it ki b'chipazon, that they didn't have to, like we say in the Haggadah, they didn't have time for the matzah to bake? That's why we eat it. So then what's the lechem only? Poor man's bread. Which is it? Are we eating it matzah because in Mitzrayim they ate matzahs because they were poor and that's all the food they could get? So they ate lechem only. Is that why we eat matzah? Or is it because we ran out of Mitzrayim too fast, so we didn't have time for it to bake? Like, which is it? So Rabban says, it is both. It is exactly there for both. Lechem only is because in Mitzrayim we ate it because we had no money, so that's all we got. And that's what they gave us. And it's also because we left quickly. Both those things. It's lechem only. And that tells you, by the way, that it can't be matzah ashira. And it's also kibbe, which, in other words, you could have matzah that's not lechem oni. You could have matzah ashira that would still fit the kibbe chippa zone. So lechem oni certainly tells you can't have matzah ashira, but it's telling you both things. And it's because we were in Mitzrayim, we ate this stuff, and we ate it when we were in Mitzrayim out of affliction. And also to remember that Hashem took us out quickly. And he says that's what we say in the Haggadah too. Halachma anya, kama. That's reason one. He says that's what we're saying in Halach Ma'anya, that it's a bread of actual affliction. But it's also, it's the other thing too, it's also because Ki B'chipazon. Sorry, it's in the Halach Ma'anya, it's just focusing on that we had in Mitzrayim. When we were in Mitzrayim, we ate it. Plus, when we left, we ate it. For different reasons, and we're remembering both. I guess just to add the last thing is that he says, Rambam mentions the purpose of the Aliyah L'Regel. Three times a year we are Ola L'Regel, and the Pasuk here in Re'eh is telling us about the Chiyav of Olas Re'eh and Shalmei Re'eh Simcha, where you bring the Chagiga, you bring the Karban Re'eh. In Pasuk Yadalf it says, Samach Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. You have a simcha when you go to Aliyah L'Regel, you bring in Karban Olos, Re'iyah, and Shalmei Chagiga. What's the purpose of doing this simcha? So it's the Rabban just says to give thanks to Hashem. And implicit in what the Rabban says. He says that you're chayef to go to Aliyah L'Regel three times a year, ala makom asher yivchar Hashem, v'lachuk sham, everyone brings, like the pasuk says, you bring kafi, how much bracha Hashem gave you. To give thanks to Hashem. So I don't know if it's exactly mefurish, but here in this in the articles they have in the footnotes, that's he understands it. That's the fact that you have to bring, based on how much you have, is what tells us that the purpose is thanking God. Meaning, if you have a lot of money, so you bring a lot of karbanos, because the whole purpose of it is to come and thank God for the good He has done for us, and that we do three times a year.